The world of medical insurance. Let's talk on this next episode of Digest This.
Welcome to Digest This, the show that helps you revolutionize your digestive health. Here are your hosts, Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato.
Hello, and welcome to Digest This. I'm Dr. Liz Cruz, and I've got Tina Nunziato sitting right by my side. Thank you so much for joining us. We love that you're on this journey with us. If you're one of our regular listeners, if you are a new listener, we welcome you. And please check out our library of podcasts. We have over 400 sitting out there that have been done for over the past decade. So let's talk about insurance, Tina.
Well, there's been some articles that have come out recently that I told you would make good podcast topics.
Yes,
so I thought this would be a good time to, we've talked about insurance in the past,
right?
And how it affects the way we do business, mm-hmm. right? And how it's getting harder and harder to take care of patients. And I think the big issue with insurance companies is, the bottom line is, the insurance companies are doing everything they can to not have to pay us for our services, right? And then when they don't pay, and then we tell the patient insurance didn't pay, and then the patient calls their insurance company, the insurance company always has a reason why we screwed up, right?
Yes.
So the patients get mad at us for putting the wrong code, for example, on a claim when we put the right code, but they're just not willing to pay it. So it's just the shift of what's happening, I think, in medicine. And then these articles that just recently came out about what continues to happen in medicine and insurance. It's just frustrating.
Yeah. And it's been going on for a while. Look, I remember being in the Navy, practicing as an internist in the Navy. I was stationed in Guam. And I specifically remember, I was there for 4 years. I was there from 1996 to 2000. And during those 4 years, I remember halfway through where they started giving us sheets, where they wanted us to start keeping track of the patients we were seeing, what diagnosis they had. We were basically doing bean counting, okay? And I remember feeling, even at that time, and this is, over 25 years ago, I remember feeling like, wow, where is this coming from? I just remember feeling like it didn't feel good. And it wasn't, here I'm trying to deliver loving, compassionate care to my patient, but now I have to keep track of
how many people you're seeing,
how many people,
right.
How long it's taking me, what my diagnosis codes mm-hmm. are. And I remember also getting in trouble because I wouldn't turn those sheets in.
You're such a bad girl.
That's such a rebel, because it didn't feel good. Like, and already we had so much paperwork because this is in the day before we had electronic medical records. Mm-hmm. So we were charting everything, which actually I miss those days, We had stacks of charts and you would write down, your visit with that patient. But I remember those sheets, they were starting to stick those into the charts. Mm. So that to me was the first time when I started to feel like something's not right.
Medicine is now a business.
Medicine is a business. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it didn't feel good because went into medicine because I love taking care of patients and being there to help them and try to figure out what's going on with them. And now it just felt a little tainted. Well, over the last, two, almost three decades, this has just continued and worsened as far as that feel of this has become a business. Mm-hmm. Now you have to do certain things in the chart in order to not get penalized mm-hmm. because even though you've seen the patient or you've done the procedure, if you don't mark certain things in the chart, which are called meaningful use, you're going to get penalized and you're not going to get reimbursed the full amount for a service mm-hmm. that you have already rendered.
Because you didn't check some boxes.
Because you didn't check some boxes.
Right. Which, which is helping the government keep track of what we're doing.
Even though you provided like amazing care for that person, you know? And it's not like you shortchanged the care you provided because of, you know, some box that you have to check. So, but you're going to get penalized.
Right. Yeah. And I think on top of that, I mean, just in general, I think a lot of people feel this. I mean, I don't know if people who aren't in medicine feel it as much as people who are in medicine, but just the squeeze that the insurance companies are putting on the providers, okay? And just like, you know, again, this is the one business where we don't get to decide how much we get paid, right? The insurance companies decide how much we get paid based on our contract with them. And sometimes in an area, you know, if they have a lot of doctors, for in our case, for example, if they have a lot of GI doctors already on their plan, one, they don't even have to accept you onto their plan. And if they do, they can pay you less and say, well, you know, we don't have to pay you because we already have a lot of GIs here. So we're only going to pay you X amount. And if you want to be on that plan, there is no negotiating with them. You have to say, okay, I'll take X amount for that, whatever it is, procedure or office visit or whatever. And so a lot of providers, I mean, I don't know if all of you have noticed, but there's not a lot of solo doctors out there anymore. Okay. There's not a lot of those kind of mom and pop doctor's offices anymore. A lot of these doctors have sold out to big corporations, big groups, big hospital groups, because they have the bandwidth to be able to support these doctors. And because they're part of a bigger group, they can negotiate with the insurance plans and get better rates, right? Versus then the one solo doctor trying to do this on his own. So that's one thing, right, is where the insurance companies are kind of squeezing. What's happening in medicine is that because these groups, because doctors are joining bigger groups, and then they continue to join bigger groups, like this big group joins this big group, and now you've got a group of thousands of doctors all coming together trying to negotiate. And it's putting the squeeze back on the insurance companies, and they don't like that, okay? Because again, insurance companies, they're charging us, I don't know if you've noticed, but more and more every year when you go to renew your insurance plan, you're getting charged more and more for your insurance policy. Right. So they're making more and more money every year, and they're trying to pay less and less money out, okay? So they don't like doctors' groups coming together trying to ask for more money, right? It's that they will push against that all day long. But the other thing that's happening in medicine is with the government plans, which is Medicare and Medicaid, right? These plans are funded by us, by our tax dollars, by Social Security, all these things, right? And if you're on Medicare, they're taking money out of your Social Security to put toward Medicare. So the government is making money off of these plans, and then they turn around and pay for your health care, okay? But a lot of people are eligible, let's say if they're really sick, okay, and they're really low income, they're eligible for Medicaid and Medicare, okay? Now, this is where the insurance company's eyes light up, because they've got really sick people that are low income, and then now they're on two insurances, not just one, okay? And then you also have what's called dual enrollment, people who just don't want to be on Medicare, they want one of those Medicare Advantage plans, because they're not getting enough from Medicare, right? So they're going out and getting two insurance plans, which again, insurance companies' eyes light up because, oh, now we're getting paid twice, right? And the thing that the article that we're reading was that there's going to be a lot more of these people coming up, a lot more of really, really sick people who are really, really low income and are going to need to be on two plans, two plus plans. And the government is paying, right, for these people. So all the insurance companies are out trying to clamor to get Medicare Advantage plans and dual enrollment plans. And they're trying to get a hold of these really sick people that are on multiple plans because they're going to get paid more. Okay. But then there was an article that came out that said that Medicare just posted their payment, their strategy for 2025 or what they're planning to pay. And it's flat. They're not planning to increase. And the insurance companies now are what? Are they upset or are they happy? Of course they're upset, because they're not going to get more money in 2025. It's going to be about the same. Okay. And so now they're talking about how they're going to cut costs. Okay. Because again, it's not about taking care of people. It's about how much money they're making. These are insurance companies that are worth billions of dollars, while the people who are sick and the doctors who are taking care of them can barely afford to get gas in their tank and food on their kitchen table, okay? But let's make sure that the insurance companies have billions of dollars to do what they need to do. And so they're talking about how they can cut costs. And one of the ways of cutting costs is something you're familiar with regard to the pharmacists. So do you want to talk a little bit about
ahead,
that?
Go on.
Yeah, I've taken up way too much of this podcast. You should talk about the pharmacist strategy.
Well, the pharmacist strategies are just basically, you know, coming together to try to create a pharmacy where they can control the cost.
No, this is what we were talking about earlier with regard to having pharmacists as doctors.
Oh, that strategy. Okay.
Yeah.
This is another strategy.
Because you told me that this has been talked about for a long time.
Yeah. And actually, it actually happens in Europe also, where it takes so long in some of these countries for patients to be seen because of the type of medicine that they have in their countries, you know, sometimes up to a year. And these people are, you know, they're desperate to get help. So now they go to the pharmacy, their local pharmacy, let the pharmacist know what their symptoms are. And the pharmacist says, okay, this is what you need. Mm-hmm. And gives, you know, sells them the medicine that they need, the antibiotic or whatever it is that they need. And actually, we saw this, you know, we see this a lot when we travel certain places, even in Mexico. Mm-hmm. You can walk into any pharmacy, and we were there in Cancun about a little over a year ago. And I tell you, we did go into a couple of the pharmacies, like to get water or something else, and they were really, really pushing medicines. And they would give you like a little card that had all these different drugs, including narcotics. Mm-hmm. And say, look, this is what you need this for. We'll sell it to you. Right. I mean, you just pull out your wallet and pay for it with a card or with cash. You can
didn't
walk
need a prescription.
Down. No, you don't need a prescription. And so, you know, this is not a new thing. And I feel like we're going to be heading more and more towards this here in America. I really do. I feel that at some point, it's going to be harder. You know, more providers are leaving medicine. They're retiring, or they're just tired of what's going on and being controlled. That they're just done, and they're going to go off and do something different. And also, we have less and less. I mean, I could speak for my field, gastroenterology. We have less and less gastroenterologists coming into the field. Mm-hmm. And we know that because we've been trying to recruit for years, and even the recruiting agencies are saying it's getting harder. Mm-hmm. It's getting harder. And so what's going to happen as we get older, you know, and we need a doctor? I think that pharmacies are going to become more and more the place where we go to and say, hey, you know, I've been having some burning when I urinate. I need an antibiotic. And they'll dispense it themselves. You don't have to even go for a prescription. Yeah. You can just buy it over the counter.
Yeah, I think the idea of a primary care doctor, a PCP doctor, is like gonna go away.
Yeah,
and again, that's just great for the insurance companies because it's less doctors that they have to pay.
It's getting tougher. Right? You know, I worked with an anesthesiologist last week, who said, "Hey, Dr. Cruz, have you heard that insurances, you know, now they're gonna start really tightening down on that? Maybe we shouldn't be using propofol for sedating the patients, and maybe going back to the old sedation, the conscious sedation with Versed and fentanyl and Demerol." And I was like, well, I've kind of heard murmurings about that off and on for years, but I haven't really heard anything lately. And she's like, oh yeah, this is becoming the big thing. And so it's going to get harder now to get coverage for monitored anesthesia care using propofol, which is what we use for all of our patients. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I'm telling you, we're getting squeezed on a lot of different places. And, you know, and again, I just get frustrated because I just want to take care of my patients and not have to deal with that stuff. I just want to be able to take care of my patients and provide, you know, loving, compassionate care, do what we need to do. But I'm not going to lie. It's, you know, the loving, compassionate care, like, it's getting harder and harder for us to provide that for patients when we're getting told what we can do and not do. And I'm pretty sure I mentioned this on another podcast not too long ago. We had a patient who came to see us because she was vomiting blood. The insurance, her insurance, would not cover or give authorization for us to do an upper endoscopy, to go in and take a look to see where she's bleeding from. I mean, we finally got the authorization, but that was only after we appealed it like two or three times. We shouldn't have to be doing that. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of extra work that we don't get paid for.
Yeah.
Plus,
yeah.
To fight for the patient's care.
The patient
care.
Is vomiting blood. I mean, what other symptom do you need to... Justification do you need to get an upper endoscopy approved mm-hmm. for a patient who tells us, I've been vomiting blood?
Well, they need to be on this medicine first for at least 60 days. Then they need what to be on treating? This medicine for 60
what
days.
What are we treating?
And they need to have this CT scan and this MRI, and then we'll consider the procedure.
Do they have an ulcer? Do they have a tumor? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So, it's just... And actually, we did have this discussion before we did this episode. I was like, okay, Tina, what exactly are we going to address? Because there's so many different things. And because it really is such a sad, frustrating situation, you know. And I've told Tina many times in our, you know, in our years of having this practice. And I've told her, I just want to go somewhere where we don't have to, we can practice medicine for the love of medicine, taking care of the patients, and not have to deal with this, you know. And I don't know if that even exists anymore.
I don't think it does, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's sad.
It is sad. Mm-hmm. So, but we continue to do our best.
Gotta work in the system we're given.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, on that note... if you would like to connect with us, if you have any questions or comments on what we've just talked about, we would love to hear from you. You can connect with us. You can find us on our website, drlizcruz.com. There's a magenta colored button on our homepage that you can click. You can schedule a free 30-minute wellness consult, and that's done over the phone. So you can do that from anywhere. If you haven't rated us, please rate us. Please give us a 5. It'll help other people just like you to find us faster. And lastly, if you had not subscribed to this podcast, please subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will catch you on the next podcast.
Thank you for joining Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato. To learn more about their revolutionary products and services, go online to www.drlizcruz.com.